Bible is not a series of disconnected stories. It is a single narrative in which every story, every character points beyond itself to one who is greater. The story of Adam and Eve is not just about the first man and woman. There is a true and better Adam who passed the test in the garden and whose obedience is ascribed to us. There is a true and better Abel who, though innocently slain, has blood that cries out not for our condemnation, but for our acquittal. There is a true and better Abraham who answered the call of God to leave all the comfortable and familiar and go out into the void to create a new people of God. There is a true and better Isaac, the son of laughter, of grace, who was not just offered up by his father on the mount, but was truly sacrificed for us all. There is a true and better Jacob, who wrestled and took the blow of justice we deserve, so we, like Jacob, only receive the wounds of grace that wake us up and discipline us. There is a true and better Joseph, who at the right hand of the king forgives those who betrayed and sold him and uses his new power to save them. There is a true and better Moses who stands in the gap between the people and the Lord and who mediates a new covenant. There is a true and better rock of Moses who, struck with the rod of God's justice, now gives us water in the desert. There is a true and better Job, the truly innocent sufferer, who then intercedes for and saves his foolish friends. There is a true and better David, whose victory becomes his people's victory, though they never lifted a stone to accomplish it themselves. There is a true and better Esther, who didn't just risk losing an earthly palace, but lost the ultimate heavenly one, who didn't just risk his life, but gave his life to save his people. There is a true and better Jonah, who was cast out into the storm so that we could be brought in. There is a true and better Passover lamb, innocent, perfect, helpless, slain so the angel of death will pass over us. He's the true temple, the true prophet, the true priest, the true king, the true sacrifice, the true lamb, the true light, and the true bread. The Bible is not a series of disconnected stories. It is a single narrative that points to one person, Jesus.
Amen. And that's who we're learning about today in the Walk Through the Bible seminars. We go through the major people, places, and events of the Old Testament. This is our Walk Through the Bible Sunday. We're going to come back, or starting at 2:30. So if you're taking the seminar this afternoon, come back at 2:15 to get everything registered and seated, and we're ready to go at 2:30. We're going to have dinner together. It'll probably end about 6:52 p.m. So we're excited about this, and we have over 300 people coming. Now, if you're saying, man, I didn't sign up, I want to come, come. We'll try to do our best to accommodate you. We have some extra notebooks. We'll try to work it out with the food, and I'm sure it'll all come out okay in the end. So let me have a word of prayer as we begin our Walk Through the Bible seminar. And by the way, today is our Walk Through the Bible seminar, but this Thursday is our National Day of Prayer as a country, and we are combining together as churches and celebrating a prayer time this Thursday, 7 p.m. at Sunrise Christian Fellowship up on Stagecoach Lane in Fallbrook. So join us this Thursday at 7 o'clock for a prayer meeting together with other churches. Let's pray right now. Lord, thank you for the opportunity we have to learn your word, God. And I pray that this day would just be a day when we see in vibrant fashion how the entire Old Testament points to you, Jesus. You're the author and perfecter of our faith. You've changed our lives, and we're here to learn about you. And today, Lord, we love you, we worship you, and we commit this seminar to you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Well, for many people, the Bible is a locked book, hard to understand, especially the Old Testament. So hard to jump into the old. We love jumping into the new. But many of us don't know the history of the Old Testament. We don't know how it all fits together. We've heard stories about David and Solomon and Elijah and Samuel and all these different people of the Old Testament. We're not sure how it all fits together. Walk Through the Bible is all about giving you the basic framework of the major people, places, and events. And we believe that once unlocked, the Bible comes alive for you. Once you understand it better, then you can more easily apply it to your lives. So our challenge to you today is to come with us and walk through the Bible. To walk through the 77 major people, places, and events of the Old Testament and put it all together like you never have before. Now, I want to give you some rules that will help you be more successful in the seminar. If you're going out driving in your car today, you want to make sure you follow the rules of the road. You know they're helpful because it enables you to avoid getting into accidents. Rules can be a good thing. Sometimes rules get a bad rap. If I told you today, hey, jump in my car, I'm going to avoid all the rules of the road, you're going to say, I'm not going with you, Mel. Not going to do it. Well, rules will help you, and it will help you in the Walk Through the Bible seminar. Here's rule number one that'll make this day even more successful for you. Rule number one is this: don't take notes. You're not going to be taking a lot of notes today. I love this rule. I was waiting for this rule since first grade. I mean, I have files full of notes at home, and I have no idea what's inside those files. You know how it is. Information goes through your eyes and ears and down through your arm and down through your pencil onto your paper, and it's gone. You've forgotten it. Already, it's gone. Walk Through the Bible is radically different. We want you to have God's word in your heart. The Bible says it like this: thy word have I hid in my notebook. Is that what it says? No, I'm not going to hide in my notebook this time. I'm going to hide God's word in my heart. So talk to me. What was rule number one? Oh, come on, you can do better than that. What was rule number one? Don't take notes. Put those pens and papers away. Now, there will be times I'll ask you in the seminar to write something down, and the sharper ones will get it. I'll say something like this, and you'll know it's a time to write something down. I'll say something like this: please take out your pens and write this down. And that'll be one of the few moments in a Walk Through the Bible seminar when you will write something down. Here's rule number two. It's a great rule. I love this rule as well. Don't try to remember. Don't worry about whether or not you've missed something and, oh no, like this guy, I forgot, I didn't hear it. I missed it. What was that again? Don't try to remember. We're not going to be working at remembering. You're just going to get it. We're going to go over things again and again and again, and eventually it'll just come to you. You'll have it. For example, what was rule number one? Don't take notes. Exactly. Did you try to remember that? No, you just did it. You remembered it. That's what Walk Through the Bible is like. Now, I had a person come up to me and say, Mel, I'm following rule number two. I'm not remembering. No, that's not rule number two. We want you to remember. We don't want you working at remembering. It's just going to come to you. Now, that's why we ask you to be somewhat engaged. We don't want you like this guy sleeping throughout the entire seminar. So talk to me again. What was rule number one? Rule number two, talk to me. Don't try to remember. Exactly. Now, here's rule number three. Rule number three has been a great blessing in my life. It's changed my life. You'll love rule number three. It's a great rule. Here it is. It is the official policy of Walk Through the Bible Ministries, a seminar and accompanying material normally taught by a certified WTB instructor, may not be reproduced in any form unless otherwise noted. Let's repeat that rule together. Let's just love that rule. No, all that rule simply says is don't take your notebooks down to a local Minuteman press, make 30,000 copies, and start your own ministry called Crawl Through the Bible or something like that. Not important. What was rule number one again? Talk to me. What was rule number two? Don't try to remember. Here's rule number four, another great rule of Walk Through the Bible Ministries. It's this: enjoy yourself. We want the learning of God's word to be enjoyable. It's a funny thing about life. If you enjoy something, you tend to do it again. And we want you to walk out of the seminar saying, hey, I enjoyed learning about God's word. I'm going to dig even deeper into the word of God and find out more. I'm going to take the skeleton, the historical skeleton that Walk Through the Bible gave me, and I'm going to dig into my word and put flesh on this skeleton to learn more of the details of the history of God's salvation story. Now, there was one couple in Stuffed Shirt, California. That's where they live, Stuffed Shirt, California, that looked like this throughout the entire seminar. You know those people that say, well, I've got the joy of the Lord. And you feel like saying, inform your face. Let your face know that, because obviously it doesn't. We want you to enjoy yourself. So rule number four, enjoy yourself. Now, how many have ever taken a Walk Through the Bible Old Testament seminar before? Anybody? Taking a walk through. Okay, we have a few alumni here. All right. Mickey, was that the one in Chicago? Here's just a reminder for the alumni. We know that you know every step of the walk backwards and forwards. You know it inside and out. You know every answer to every question in the Walk Through the Bible seminar. So we want our alumni, people that have taken the class before, to please relax. Because there may be people beside you who want to get involved, but somehow simply can't. So alumni, please relax. How many of you have ever done a jigsaw puzzle? Anybody done a jigsaw puzzle? Probably most of you, right? What does the manufacturer of that puzzle give you to help you with that puzzle? The big picture. You take those pieces and you begin to recreate the picture that's on the cover of the box. That's what a Walk Through the Bible seminar is all about. Like I said, you probably have a lot of facts about the Old Testament, but it's all going to come together for you today. How many of you have done water skiing? Any of you? How many of you have done scuba diving? All right, you know there's a big difference between water skiing and scuba diving, right? Water skiing, you're covering a lot of water very quickly. Scuba diving, you're in one place for an extended period of time. We will be doing biblical water skiing today. We're going to cover a lot of quote-unquote ground very quickly. And we want you to go back into the Bible and fill in all the details from the outline that we give you today. Hey, I want to give you a memory device that will help you remember how many books there are in the Old Testament and how many books there are in the New Testament. This is worth the cost of the seminar alone right here. All right, talk to me. How many letters are there in the word old? There are three, exactly. Thank you for the three people that said that. How many letters are there in the word Testament? There are nine. How many books are there in the Old Testament? There are 39. Isn't that nice how that worked out for the Old Testament? Well, this trick works for the New Testament as well, believe it or not. How many letters are there in the word new? There are three. How many letters are there in the word Testament? There are nine. How many books are there in the New Testament? There are 27. See how that works for the New Testament as well? I love how that works for the New Testament. Now, actually, what's 3 times 9? 27 for you mathematicians. So if there are 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 in the New, how many are there in the entire Bible? There are 66, exactly. And we will be focusing on the historical books of the Old Testament to build the major people, places, and events of the Old Testament. And one thing Walk Through the Bible does that will increase your learning 500% is with every step of the walk, they add a hand gesture. A hand gesture that increases your studies have been done. It increases your learning 500%. Thousands of people, in fact, hundreds of thousands of people around the world. The Walk Through the Bible seminar is in like 45 languages. And I've had the privilege of teaching it in India, in the former Soviet Union. Everyone is doing these hand gestures to increase your learning. It'll increase your learning 500%. So what I want you to do, put all your pens down, all your papers, all your iPhones, all your portable televisions, put them all down, put your hands together. We're going to make the first sign of the walk, which represents God creating everything by his spoken word. By the way, did God have anything to create with when he started out? No, he created out of nothing. Theologians call it an ex nihilo, out of nothing creation. God spoke and created the entire universe, massive, billions and billions of galaxies with billions and billions of stars coming into existence by God's spoken word. So we're going to take our hands, make a big circle, and say the word creation. Let's try that together. Speak to me, say the words creation. Here we go. Creation. One more time. That was pretty good. Big, big circle. Here we go. Creation. Very good. No wimpy creation. No wimpy circles, amen? It was a big creation. So we're going to put our hands together, say the words one more time. Here we go. Creation. Now, God created a beautiful planet. In fact, I don't know if you've ever read the book Privileged Planet or seen the movie. All the conditions that are required on this planet for life to exist, it's awesome. God did it. He put Adam and Eve, the first people that he created, in a beautiful garden called the Garden of Eden. Exactly. And they were told to enjoy the entire garden, to eat of all the trees that are in the garden. But there was one tree to stay away from, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Adam and Eve heard that from God, and they loved God, and they walked with God. They were sinless. They had perfect fellowship with God, and they obeyed God and lived happily ever after. Is that the story? No, unfortunately, it's not. Instead of obeying God, they both disobeyed God. They ate from the one tree they should not have eaten from. And sin came into the world, and death as a result of that sin. That one event in human history is called the fall. So we're going to take our hands and say creation, then bring our hands down and say fall. Let's do that together, everyone. Here we go. Creation, fall. Now, Adam and Eve had this beautiful opportunity to follow God. I want to read the story out of Genesis. It's pretty amazing. When they were told to stay away from the one tree, as you know, in Genesis 3, it gives us the account of what happened. This is what it says. Now, the serpent, who was who? Satan was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say to you, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden'?" Do you hear what Satan's doing? Did God put limitations on you, telling you you can't do something? And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the tree of that is in the fruit, the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You shall not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good from evil.'" See, if we were in the garden, we'd probably want to ask Eve a question before she ate of the fruit. Here's question number one, and it's a great question for us. Questions that define the direction of our lives. Question number one, Eve, who's in charge of your life? See, God told you to do something, and the Satan, the serpent, is challenging you to disobey God. Did God actually tell you that? He's lying to you. Eve, who's in charge of your life? And there are moments we face the same kind of temptations that Eve faced in the Garden of Eden. I want to ask you today, who is in charge of your life? Who do you take marching orders from every single day? And as believers in Christ, the answer ought to be very simple. I take my marching orders from Jesus. He's the Lord of my life. He's in charge of my life. Who do you take your orders from every day? And when you face the opportunity to disobey God or obey Him, God is the one that you follow each and every day. The second question I would love to have asked Adam and Eve before they ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is this: where's your focus? Remember what the Bible says? Eve looked on the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and saw that it was desirable to eat. Eve, why are you even looking there? God gave you so many trees to enjoy, and you're looking at the fruit of the one tree He told you not to eat from. Where's your focus? And I want to tell you today, so many people's lives are ruined because they focus on the wrong thing. Instead of focusing on God, and God, what is your agenda for me today? They focus on things they should not be focusing on. What is the focus of your life today? Is it on God? Or have you been distracted? Are you focusing on other things? Both Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and sin came into the world, and God confronted them. Remember what happened? When God confronted Adam, Adam said this: "The woman you gave me, she gave me the fruit and I ate." And when God confronted Eve, Eve said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." Everyone's pointing fingers at everybody else. Here's the third question: who takes responsibility for sin in your life? Can't blame it on God, like Adam did. The woman you gave me. Can't blame it on somebody else. You are responsible. And I want to tell you today, who's in charge of your life, where's your focus, and who takes responsibility for the sin in your life will radically change your life if you answer it like God wants you to. I'm going to take responsibility. I'm not going to blame my parents. Not going to blame my circumstances. Not going to blame people around me. Not going to blame God. I will take responsibility and decide to follow God today. Adam and Eve didn't do that. And our walk, our symbols for the walk, our gestures are these: creation, fall. Now, Adam and Eve had many children. Two of them were Cain and Abel. And Cain and Abel saw the negative impact of sin on their parents' life. So they decided to follow God, and they lived happily ever after. Is that the story? No, in fact, Cain became so jealous of his brother Abel, he did what? He murdered his own brother. And as the number of people began to increase on the earth, so did sin. And God decided to judge the world for its sin, because all around the world, people were rebelling against God. But there was one man who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Does anybody know the name of that person? Exactly, it's Noah. Alumni, please relax. So we're going to say this: as God sends a flood and it rains for 40 days and 40 nights and the floodwaters begin to rise, and people that mocked Noah year after year, Noah, what are you doing? Building a huge boat in the desert. There's no water around here. The local zoning board was going crazy. Noah, what are you doing? And year after year, Noah preached the message of coming judgment and the need for repentance, but no one listened. No one. Finally, God put Noah and all those animals on this true story ark. God closed the doors and the waters began to rise, and it rained for 40 days and 40 nights as Noah and his family and all those animals were in this boat that Noah had built. So we're going to say this: creation, fall, flood. As we imagine those flood waters rising, let's do that together, everyone. Motions together. Here we go. Creation, fall, flood. Let's do the talking to everyone. Talk those steps as well. Here we go. Creation, fall, flood. Oh, much better. Now, how long were Noah and his family in the ark for? About a year. They were in the ark for about a year. The boat rested on the mountains of the mountain range Ararat, and the family and Noah came out of the boat, so did the animals, but sin was still in their hearts. And the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 11 that the people came together at a place called Babel. And their desire was to build a tower that would reach to the heavens. And their motivation to do it was not to glorify God. The Bible says their motivation to build this tower was to make a name for themselves. Well, God saw the pride of that motivation. And at this point in human history, everyone spoke the same language. And God, in one miraculous act to stop the building of this ark and this tower and to humble these people, he confused the languages, and everyone began to speak different languages, and the building of the tower stopped. And at the Tower of Babel, there were all these different languages being spoken. There was French, Russian, Italian, Thousand Island, all these different languages being spoken at the Tower of Babel, and people began to congregate according to the language that was being spoken. God began to form the nations. That's our next step in the walk. It's this: creation, fall, flood, then push those people apart at the Tower of Babel and say nations, as God formed the various ethnic groups that we see even today. Let's do those four steps together. You ready? Here we go. Creation, fall, flood, nations. Now, one rule of walk through the Bible is this: the mind can only learn as much as the seat can endure. So I'm going to ask you all to stand up. Let's all stand up together. We're going to do these four steps together. In fact, before we do this, it's kind of early in the morning, 10:30. Turn to the person on your right and just give them gentle karate chops to loosen them up a little bit. Yeah, just give them gentle karate chops. Up a little higher, a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right, a little bit lower. Now turn to the person on your left and get them back. I mean, get their back. That's right. Oh, yeah, person on the left. Yeah, little karate chops. That's it. All right. Now we're ready. All right, we are going all the way back to creation. Okay. Why am I the only one? This is awesome what God did. So when we say we're going back to creation, let's give a round of applause to the Lord for what he did. So we're going all the way back to creation. Oh, it feels so much better. It feels so much better. All right. There we go. From creation. Creation, fall, flood, nations. Hey, that was good. Turn to the person next to you and say, you are a natural at this. You are good at it. Very good. All right, please be seated. Well, God's working out his redemptive plan that ultimately led to you coming to faith in Christ. And so you're all part of the story that began way back in the Garden of Eden. And creation, fall, flood, nations. God chooses one person to be the father of a great nation through whom the Messiah would come. Now, you probably remember back in the garden, God said that the seed of the woman would one day do what to the head of the serpent? crush the head of the serpent. God already had a plan in place to deal with our sin problem. And his answer was his only son, the Messiah who would come. God would choose one man to be the father of a great nation through whom the Messiah would come. He chose that person about 4,000 years ago from today. We live about 2,000 years after Christ. He lived about 2,000 years before Christ. So what we're going to do is this. We're going to say creation, fall, flood, nations. Then we're going to draw a timeline and say 4,000 years. That reminds us that, oh yeah, the guy that God chose to be the father of the nation of Israel lived about 4,000 years ago from today. Let's do from creation again. Here we go. Creation, fall, flood, nations, 4,000 years. Now, Walk Through the Bible does something that radically changes every worship center that anyone has ever been in. You are no longer seated in a worship center at Riverview Church. You are now, by the wonder of the Walk Through the Bible seminar, seated in a miniaturized map of the Holy Land. The looks on your faces are underwhelming. Underwhelming. I mean, it's a big time, man. So you're no longer sitting in a worship center. You're sitting on a map. And if you're facing this way is north. That means this direction is what?
South.
Sal, talk to me. This is what?
North.
This is?
South.
This is? East. This is? This is? East. This is? This is? This is? All right, that's too easy. I'm going to mix up my hands. Really confuse you. All right, we'll say the four directions again. They are north, south, east, west. Way down here in this map now, the miniaturized map of the Holy Land, there was a place that Abraham, the father of this great nation, would live, and he would leave this place. Russ, would you mind standing up? You're in the exact spot where this place is found in our map. It's the place called Ur. Russ, do you know how to spell Ur?
E-R.
It's U-R. I would have spelled it E-R too. U-R. It's a weird spelling. So we're going to point to Russ and say Ur. Everybody do that. Point to Russ and say Ur. You sound so intelligent when you say that. It sounds so intelligent. Let's do it one more time and say Ur. Now, Russ, you're key to the whole seminar. We'll see you back here at 2:30 sitting right in that spot. You are key. Let's do it one more time. Point to Russ and say, Ur. How does it feel having all these people point at you, Russ?
Wonderful.
All right. Give Russ a hand for being Ur. All right. So Abraham was living in Ur, and God said to Abraham, Abraham, I want you to leave Ur, that place of comfort that we heard about on the video you just saw. I want you to leave your comfort zone. I want you to follow me. And I'm going to build out of you a great nation. And Abraham said, God, I'll do it. Just give me a schedule of exactly where we're going, when we're going, and some pictures of the place we're going to, an itinerary, and then I'll follow you. Is that what he said?
No.
In fact, the Bible says this. He followed God walking with eyes of faith. He had no idea where God was taking him. He trusted God. And I want to challenge all of you and me to be just like that. We don't know what tomorrow holds for us. We don't know exactly where God is leading us. But our desire is to follow God no matter where he takes us, to walk with eyes of faith. Are you walking with eyes of faith today? Some people will say, God, I'll follow you if you do everything I want you to. That's not walking with eyes of faith. Abraham left his comfort zone. He obeyed God, didn't know where God would lead him. But he followed him to this land flowing with milk and honey and became the father of a great nation through whom Jesus would come. And a key person in the redemptive story for you and me. So we're going to say this after creation, fall, flood, nations, 4,000 years, Ur. Now, just to the south of Ur, in fact, let me show you a map on the screen so you can kind of see where Ur is on our map. Just to the south of Ur is a place known as the Persian Gulf. You've heard of the Persian Gulf War, right? Same body of water. So we're going to say this, Ur, and then draw the northern tip behind Russ of the Persian Gulf. Let's do that together. Say Ur, Persian Gulf. Now, if you were at the banks of the Persian Gulf, took off your socks and shoes, could bear that smell, went into the water, put your finger in the water, and brought it to your mouth, what would it taste like? Not oil. Who said oil over here? No. Not oil. Salt is the operative word. We're going to use the word salt to highlight four key people that God brought out of the land of Ur. So we're going to say this, Ur, Persian Gulf, then taste that water and say, salt. And the four people are Sarah, Abraham, Lot, and Terah. So let's do that together from Ur, Persian Gulf. Here we go. Everyone, gestures, here we go. And talking, Ur, Persian Gulf, salt. Sarah, Abraham, Lot, Terah. Sarah was Abraham's what? Wife. Abraham was Abraham's self. Alumni, please relax. Lot was Abraham's nephew. Terah was Abraham's father. So we're going to say this, Persian Gulf, salt. Sarah, Abraham, Lot, Terah. Then there are two famous rivers. You see them on the map there. On our map of the Holy Land, it's the Tigris and Euphrates. We're going to draw the Tigris. It comes right up this aisle, all right? And then the Euphrates, it starts in the corner of the worship center, cuts across the worship center to that corner. It's the Euphrates. So let's draw those two rivers, Tigris and Euphrates. God leads Sarah, Abraham, Lot, and Terah up through these two very famous rivers to a place on our map right about here, right about where the podium is, called Haran, H-A-R-A-N. And it's there at Haran that something very sad happens. Abraham's father, Terah, dies. So we say, Tigris, Euphrates, point to Haran. Haran, put your hand on your heart and say, sad face, Terah dies. So it's Tigris, Euphrates, Haran, Terah dies. Let's do it from Persian Gulf. Here we go. Persian Gulf, salt, Sarah, Abraham, Lot, Terah, Tigris, Euphrates, Haran, Terah dies. Ben, why don't you come forward? We're going to have the band come forward. We're going to stand up and go all the way back to creation. But I want to challenge you as we close to leave this place. People who want to follow God, God's in charge of your life, that your focus is on Him, and that if there is sin in your life, you take responsibility for it. Don't rationalize it. And that you'll be a person who walks with eyes of faith like Abraham. So as our band's getting ready, let's all stand. We're going back to creation. All right, let's give a round of applause. All right, woo! All right, with all the vim and vigor you can muster at 10:42 in the morning, all the way back to creation. Here we go. Creation, fall, flood, nations, 4,000 years, Persian Gulf, salt, Sarah, Abraham, Lot, Terah, Tigris, Euphrates, Haran, Terah dies. Give us another hand. Good job. Woo! Please join us in the song.